Hi from our national studios here in Accra, networking with all our regional FM stations and across the globe on www.gbcghana.com. We say welcome to Behind the News, where we'll be speaking to the newsmakers and the experts directly. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, MPP says they are behind the police in executing their mandate, but thinks there is selective and partisan justice. Where will the blame game end? National Media Commission offers suggestion on the way out of the standoff. Can the broadcasting law bring higher sanity in the media? What does it say? And is the National Peace Council finding a challenge in carrying out their mandate? What should they do? We'll be exploring these issues, and as usual, I'll be encouraging you to send in your first and comments on 026-441-8767. Behind the News, you are getting us live on Radio BAR and also on Volta Star Radio. Across the coast, you are getting us on Twin City Radio, Radio Central, and also Volta Star, together with Ubuntu 96.5. And we move on to our first story. Yesterday, the MPP MP for Asin North, Kennedy Ejepon, was arrested for allegedly making treasonable comments over the weekend. Even though his legal team tried to secure his release, the bail application was later denied. This sparked nasty incidents last night between some supporters of the MPP and security operatives, which led to the firing of tear gas and warning shots. Today, the national chairman of the party, Jake Obetchebelamte, issued a statement stating that the MPP is fully behind the police in the execution of their mandate and are calling on the police to be fair, even-handed and professional in their dealings. But what has been happening so far in relation to Mr. Kennedy Ejepon? We have joining us on the line the Acting Director of the Public Affairs Directorate of the Ghana Police Service, DSP Sifas Atta, to tell us much more as to what is happening. You are welcome, sir, to the program.
Thank you very much.
So far, where are we with that case?
Thank you very much. I greet your listeners. So far, we have got to the point where the police service has officially or formally charged the Honorable Member of Parliament.
What is the charge?
Treason.
Treason.
Yes.
And from the perspective of the police, what does it mean if he's been charged with treason?
I wouldn't arrogate to myself the expertise of the law, but from my layman point of view, I wonder if people really accept it that I'm a layman. Let me say that he's been engaged in something or has said something that has a likelihood of subverting, that has the nature of subversion. That is why we are holding for treason.
Yeah. We saw in the course of the day that some supporters were still around trying to ask for the release of the MP. How did you handle it this time?
Oh, let me congratulate the supporters and the MPP leadership for the way they managed their own people today. The crowd was well behaved, was well composed as compared to what happened yesterday where they went haywire. They were manageable and they were very cooperative, and that is a plus to the crowd.
Did you have a meeting with them?
We had meetings with the leadership of the MPP, and they promised that they would ensure that nothing untoward happened, and they delivered it.
Yeah, we have a statement issued from the party and signed by the national chairman, Jake Obetchebelamte, to the effect that the MPP is fully behind the police in the execution of their mandate and expect them to do this in a fair, even-handed and professional manner. The police has been pushed to the wall in recent times. Why do you think the accusations are being heaped on the organization?
What has come from the MPP is very commendable, very, very commendable, although it was just a little belated, but it is said that half a loaf is better than none. Mm-hmm. And with this statement coming from them, it's going to ensure that there's a smooth operation between the party and the police as far as this issue is concerned, and that there's going to be cooperation between the two stakeholders. And so that is very, very commendable, and it is our wish and hope that it continues on this line to its logical conclusion, and even through the rest of the phases of the registration exercise to the election. Let me say that we have had some accusation coming from both parties, the NDC and NPP. And this, I think, is an attestation to the fact that the police, after the word of the Inspector General of Police, are behaving or conducting themselves neutrally. If it were only one side that was accusing the police, then there could be something wrong. But we have both sides accusing the police. This is a sign that the police is really standing in the middle of the pack and ensuring that everybody is catered for equally.
We are not out of the woods yet. Apart from this case that has come up, there is still the registration exercise going on. How are you deploying in a way as to help all parties to know that you are still handling your assignments without any partisan approach?
Yeah, first of all, let me say that the police is doing a lot to ensure that we don't record any nasty incidents. We have the experiences of the first two phases, especially the first one, after which there was a meeting between the Inspector General of Police and the EC Commissioner to review the whole exercise. A few pitfalls were identified and the holes have been plugged, and it is our belief that things will take shape and move on smoothly. We have, for instance, intensified our patrol, and a few more places have been identified as trouble
areas.
Mm-hmm. Yes, where we have put men, we have stationed men there to take care of any infraction and prevent the occurrence of any problem. And so the EC also did its own homework, where they had problem with personnel being conversant with the machines and other things. And we know that subsequent phases, that is phase 3 and the phase 4, will be largely more successful than the first two phases.
Good. So coming back to the TIFF yesterday, with the arrest of Yabwadia Samwa and later release, are you charging him too, or you are just allowing him to go?
For now, he has been granted bail. Further investigations will be conducted, and when it becomes necessary that we charge him, we shall do.
Yes.
Otherwise, we shall accordingly advise ourselves.
Okay, but why was he arrested in the first place? Some still want to know.
Let me say that he happened to be in the vicinity where some young men were engaged in an act of rowdyism, and so he was picked together with them. That is as preliminary investigation will have it, and so we'll do further investigation to confirm it or otherwise. And if it is found out that he only happened to be there per chance, then we know what to do. But if he happens to be an active participant in whatever was going on, then we shall also advise ourselves.
We want to thank you very much. If need be, we'll get back to you before the end of the program to respond to a few other concerns.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That's the acting head of the Police Public Affairs Directorate of the Ghana Police Service, if we have to mention it that way. And we have to mention that we have joining us in the studio the head of the National Peace Council. He will be staying in the course of the program to talk about a few other things coming up and the challenges that the organization is confronted with. Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, you are welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you.
It's been a few challenging moments in recent times after the inauguration of the Enforcement Committee and also the National Peace Council are working in the interest of the peace. How would you generally describe it?
Well, let me first of all say that, you know, the National Peace Council exists not just because of the elections.
Yes.
The act that brought the council into being did so that the council will be that which will facilitate and promote peace in the country. The challenges is that, you know, the 13-member board is only the first part of the whole thing. We need to put in place regional peace councils, the RECSEC, and, you know, us must come together to put in place these regional councils, mm-hmm. and then district peace councils. Now, until the regional peace councils and the district peace councils have been put in place, our work is going to be very, 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 very difficult. Why am I saying this? You have only 13 people drawn from various institutions and organizations. All of us not located even in Accra. Mm-hmm. If we have to meet, we are not full-time workers. It's a board. And as a board, we meet once in a while. If need be, we increase our meeting times. And
but looking at it, you are not full-time people. But the exigencies of the present situation, doesn't it demand that you meet more regularly?
Oh, yes. That is precisely what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we meet, and we are meeting more regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with teething problems,
yeah.
Setting up structures and institutions that will enable the council to work. Unfortunately, we were inaugurated just about the time when we entered into this period, which is a year of election, a hot spot
mm-hmm.
for violence. And so that has somehow taken the energies, it has taken the time of the National Peace Council in terms of putting structures and all those things. So these are challenges facing us. We have not as yet, we are located in a place, a makeshift kind of office now. We do not have the full complement. We do not have the complement of our workers, research team, PRO, people who do all these things are not in place yet. So these are challenges facing the Peace Council.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at it, and with what we have presently, the National Peace Council, I know it's been called upon because there's been call on various voices of moderation in this country
yes.
to make that voice heard,
yes.
especially in terms of statements being made on radio, cutting across
yes.
Kennedy Ejiofor's cases, just one.
Yes.
In that case, what are you saying?
No, let me tell you that the National Peace Council is not, let me say this advisedly,
mm-hmm.
is not intended to be, if you like, a fire service, going around dousing flames here and there. When there is an issue, it takes some time, we will study the issue before we come up, okay, with a statement. Let me also say that the National Peace Council is there to facilitate peace. It is not there just to issue condemnatory statements on issues. And so a lot of the work that we do not do it under the eye of the camera. It is most of the time advisory. Most of the time trying to meet stakeholders, advising them in respect of issues, okay, that borders on the peace of this country. A lot of the things that we will do will not pass through the eyes of the media. Because, I mean, you do not, if we happen to meet stakeholders, party executives, and discuss certain matters, rarely are we going to come into the public to say, look, we've met these people, we have said this, we have said that. But we are at work.
Yeah. behind the scenes maneuvers you are talking about.
Yes.
We'll come back to it very soon. But we want to quickly go to the line, and joining us is Atachia, a member of Canadian Japan's legal team. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yes, we hear your client has been charged with treason. Have you got a full charge sheet yet?
No, sir.
So what have you been told specifically?
I've not been told anything. I just heard it on air that he's been charged formally with treason.
Yeah, but from your preparations so far, especially since he was arrested, what have you been looking at, the possibilities?
Well, I thought that given his explanation before the panel, he was going to be admitted to bail.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you put what he said in context, it doesn't approximate to treason at all. So I thought the police officers understood what he meant and why he's waking the conscience of the nation to the fact that we shouldn't permit facts to hold others' sway while the police seem to be impotent. The police should work. If they are putting pressure on them, they should say so, because we can't stand a situation in which people will take the law into their own hands. And if some people are beaten and others respond, then that is right, because the police wouldn't want to do anything. And he's trying to declare war. In the context, I understand him to be saying that rise up to the occasion, that if people want to lynch you and the police are around or they won't do anything, then lynch them too. This is the sense in which I understand what he was saying. And this is what he was trying to explain to the police, that he's not a warmonger, because at the end of the day, he has sufficient economic interest in Ghana to be the last person to ply the nation into, I mean, that kind of mayhem.
Yeah.
So this is how I understood him. And this is how I think the police also appreciated what he said.
Yes.
So I thought so, but unfortunately for me, he's taking a new turn. And what can we do as lawyers? Our strength is in the court. We will leave the police to investigate.
Yes.
We won't interfere with what they are doing and abide what the court will do and say.
Yeah. Mr. Atachia, some might say that, well, the explanation can go, but there are others on the fringes of society who might not even understand it that way. In that case, don't you think it might mean some incitement?
Well, if people want those who will not understand it to mean war, they will do it. So if there are some people on the fringes who didn't appreciate what he's saying, it is the way others interpret it to them that will cause them to misbehave. He said it on Friday. Have you seen war in Ghana? Or have you heard that some people are preparing on the basis of what he said to turn this nation into a war situation? So my humble opinion, with all respect, I'm not doing politics, but as a lawyer, what I'm saying is that if we are not careful, we just are just looking at a storm in a teacup. But it's rather our overreaction to what is done that might precipitate some unfortunate consequences which you all don't want to see. It's not necessary to do much about what he said. Because right now I'm told that he's been searched, he doesn't have weapons on him, there's no evidence of an armory in the backyard, you see. So what they say is he's done, essentially, that he was too passionate about what he's saying. But passion alone, it's not sufficient to grant a charge of treason.
Yeah. Last night, I posed a question to one person we had on this platform, and I want to throw it to you too. That's entering a crowded theater, and it's a celebrated case in America. We talk about the bastion of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Entering a crowded theater and also shouting fire, fire falsely cannot be allowed even in a free speech country. Can
yes.
that not be alluded to in this particular case?
It cannot be alluded to in this particular case because he was not talking in isolation. He's talking about thuggery. He's talking about the police perpetrating this thuggery. He's talking about an atmosphere in which you are encouraging people to take the law into their own hands. So I don't know why people wouldn't want to see the context in which he was talking.
Yeah. So
I'm saying that his language was passionate. I would say that his language was a bit too strong.
Mm-hmm.
But within the context, people have their style of communicating. If you heard President Rawlings speaking, as if he wants the heavens to come down. If you heard Professor Tamil speaking, it's a quiet, man-like way of trying to communicate what he believes in. So it's not the passion per se. That makes something treasonable. That's whether you will carry out what you are trying to say. It's yet another matter.
Yes.
So I will condemn any situation in which anybody wants to plant this nation into.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I condemn it if it's coming from even an Akufo-Addo.
Yeah. So for now, what we've been told is that he's been charged for treason. In terms of preparation, what do you think should be put in? Because it's your client.
Oh, well, definitely. I mean, he'll keep us awake tonight to look at the law of treason and also the law of bail, and as to whether the facts they will put together will approximate to treason, and as to whether a judge should swallow hook, line, and sinker, whatever the prosecution brings to him or her, as the case may be. So these are some of the considerations we as the lawyers who have to, I mean, look at the law critically.
So where is he now?
Sorry?
Where is he now?
He's still behind himself in the VNI.
Well, I want to thank you very much. As things develop, we'll try to get back to you to see exactly what you are doing about it.
It's my pleasure, sir.
Thank you very much. Atachi is a member of Kennedy Ejiofor's legal team. He joined us on the line. But quickly, on the other line, we have Nana Akumia, Director of Communications of the MPP. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, my brother.
We are exploring the issue from the party's perspective. We have the national chairman issuing a communication to the effect that you are supporting the police in the execution of their mandate, but you still have a few complaints here and there. And just let me pick from the very first paragraph. It is saying that a new patriotic party takes note of the arrest yesterday, 16th April 2012, of the Member of Parliament for Asin North, and for an intemperate public statement made by him last Friday in reaction to the unfortunate incident in the Dododo constituency. Does that mean that you are still not very comfortable with the resettlement that came up last week?
Comfortable with what?
The resettlement of that issue. You know, there was a meeting between the police and the two main political aspirants for the seat in Ododo.
Well, we are talking in the context of the statement made by the Honorable Ken Ajepon, because his statements were in reaction to the events that had happened at Ododo. So that was why we were also using that same context. Essentially, even though we feel that there is justification for the call for people to defend themselves when attacked and there is no protection from the law enforcement agency, we feel that the language, the words that were used were intemperate. But then we were also keen to ensure that even though we support the police in their work as the foremost law enforcement institution, we're also keen that the police do their work in a fair, even-handed, and professional manner. That when you have a situation where the Ododo constituency, you have people holding very high political positions, making statements that they would prevent people from registering on the basis of ethnicity, and actually going ahead to carry out that threat, which flies in the face of the electoral laws, which fly in the face of the Ghanaian constitution. And these people actually make these statements very inflammatory and actually put in their plans into action, actually try to exclude people from registering on the basis of ethnicity. Extreme provocation, and you don't get the police acting in the same manner as they acted in Ken Ajepon's manner. So Ken Ajepon, who out of frustration, then also voices out sentiments which, as we have said, were intemperate. That's when the police jumps in to arrest him and all of that. So we are also keen to urge the police that they have to be even-handed, they have to be fair, and they have to be professional in their work. But we also called on NPP supporters to remain calm, as they are a team of competent lawyers who are looking into the legal case against Ken Ajepon And we're also calling on the police to ensure that there is no undue harassment against Ken Ajepon. And we're also calling on the president to take the lead in ensuring that there is law and order and security for every citizen. And that when he makes a statement like he is not a policeman, it doesn't give the impression that the president himself is totally focused on the security of every Ghanaian. And so we are urging him also to show leadership in ensuring that every Ghanaian is protected under the laws of this country.
Nana Kumia, as you mentioned this, some are saying that the party leadership has met with the police. So you understand the processes. You are even calling on your supporters to abide by the rules. What are you doing to the party membership? What are you telling them, using the media that you have, for them to know that this is the way you need to go, because we are still talking about the peace?
You know, that there is a perception that the police are not acting in an even-handed manner. For example, yesterday when Mr. Ajepon went to the police upon invitation, and he got there in the morning at about 10:30, and at about 4:00 he had spoken to them at length. His lawyers were present, and he was due for bail. The bail processes had been satisfied. There was surety available. There was property available. All of them had been inspected. The surety and the property had all been examined as satisfactory. And we had gone out and told party supporters to be calm, and that the processes were going, all of us were going through the processes, and bail would be granted and all of that. And then in the early evening, about 6:30, we got to know that some other orders have come, and so he was going to be denied bail. That gave a certain perception that there were other powers outside the police who were pushing the police into acting in a manner that the police themselves originally had not intended. And so this gave rise to all kinds of perceptions and all kinds of disturbances, which we don't want. Today, like this, we're told that a search was conducted at Ken Ajepon's properties and all of that. It gives rise to all kinds of excitement. So we're hoping that the police will conduct themselves in an even-handed, fair and professional manner, so that the public confidence would be retained and everybody will remain calm for the legal processes to continue.
You know, it's an institution that is available for all. So how do you go on to build confidence in your people to at least allow the legal processes to work?
The people would have the needed legal confidence when they see that the process is fair, the process is even-handed, and the process is not partial.
So will you call on them to stop massing up at the police headquarters for the processes to continue? The lawyers say they are studying the issue.
We have already called on them in the statement to be calm.
Are you going further?
Absolutely.
To tell them to refrain from going to the police headquarters?
Well, the best way of ensuring that everybody remains calm is to ensure that the process is fair.
Yeah. Nana Kumia, before you go, we've spoken to different parties, but it appears all parties think their members are never guilty of any infringement on the laws. Do you have a sense of feeling that that is making it quite difficult for the police to work?
I think the more important thing is that when you see people getting away with atrocities like happening in Ododio, and people getting away with making statements that they are going to prevent other Ghanaians because they believe those Ghanaians are not of a certain ethnicity, and nothing is done to them, and they actually go ahead and carry out the threat. And we all have been witnesses in the last couple of days to the mayhem that is going on in Ododio in particular. And you don't hear anything being done to protect Ghanaians. That is the bigger danger, my brother.
Is that the only area where you find some problems? Because we've heard of other challenges in some other areas in some regions.
There will be scattered problems. But in Ododio, the problem is so dramatic.
So would you consider that
why no action is taken?
Would you consider any MPP member not doing anything that could be interpreted as an infringement?
Listen, what we want is the police to act in an even-handed manner. If an MPP person behaves in a manner that infringes the procedures and the laws, they have to be dealt with. If an NDC member also does the same, they have to be dealt with.
Okay.
Then everybody would have confidence in the law.
Okay.
But when you have a situation where the law only seems to act when there's one particular set of people involved, then you have trouble.
We want to thank you very much for your time.
Thank you too.
Nana Akumia. Nana Akumia is the Director of Communications of the MPP. Well, coming back to the studio, Prof, you've heard the way the discussions go, but it's not only Nana Akumia who would like to comment on it this way. If you get any other party member, nobody would like to accept that maybe my party members are at fault. For you, if you have to sit in the process that allows discussion for settlement of issues, how do you see this stance?
Obviously, it borders on the question of trust and trust building. Trust building, what do I mean by trust building? There must be, in dealing with situations of this nature, the perception of uneven-handedness on the part of the police should be eradicated. In other words, the police must hold a double-edged sword that cuts on both sides. If the impression is given by any given party that nothing is being done, you know, against our perceived opponents, but something is being done against us, then obviously there is a problem of trust. It is my wish that, you know, the fact that both parties seem to have difficulty with the police should say something to both parties. That perhaps the police may, at some point, may be doing something good. That's why Party A has problems with them, and Party B also has problems with them. But having said that, we must also admit that we are dealing with human beings, and there is bound to be some kind of, you know, attitude that might raise eyebrows in respect of the even-handedness in dealing with such situations. And under such circumstances, you're bound to have a situation where people have no trust in the system. But having said that, let me say, whatever it is, I think it is important for all of us to have trust, some kind of trust in the system, because it is better to have the police in place than not to have the police at all. So perhaps what we are saying is that let us at least give them the benefit of the doubt, but let the police also not do anything to whittle the little confidence people have, so that, you know, trust will be built and there will be trust for us to be able to, you know, live in peace in this country.
Just before we moved on to the line, we're talking about behind the scenes maneuvers to settle issues.
Yes.
For people who never get to know, they will think nothing is happening.
Yes.
What do you do to communicate to them that at least there is some process in motion trying to help heal wounds?
I must say to you, I think I did mention that, you know, ever since the inauguration of the Peace Council, the efforts have been made in respect of establishing structures that will enable us meet with the stakeholders with a view to ensuring that there is peace. Tomorrow, for instance, we will be meeting with some leaders of the political parties at Dodowa. And among the things that will be discussed, it is not somebody going to impose anything on anybody, but we'll be looking at some of these issues, and then we'll be asking ourselves, what can we do to ensure that, you know, something good is done? Fortunately, the parties themselves have their own political parties' code of conduct, and it is very interesting. If you read what they have, if you permit me, I'll read portions of the preamble. The preamble to the Ghana Political Parties Code of Conduct 2012 says, the roots of a thriving democracy are to be found in peace, stability, law and order, as well as compliance by all stakeholders with well-defined electoral laws and codes. Equally vital are the role of a credible, independent umpire and equality of political opportunities for all political parties, facilitated by the existence of a level playing field to promote free, fair, credible elections and the acceptance of results. Recognizing that tolerance and pluralism are necessary for an effective democracy, and determined to realize the objective of a model democracy and to consolidate democratic governance in our homeland, and weary of the unacceptable conduct of some of our members in the past, we, the political parties of Ghana, do collectively and voluntarily adopt for ourselves and the people of Ghana the provisions of this code to guide our activities and aid the entrenchment of genuine multi-party democracy in our country. We hereby pledge to one another and to the people of Ghana to promote and apply the code set out below, directing our members, officials, and candidates of their obligations under the code. This is something that was, you know, agreed on the 21st of August, 2011, at a conference at Ebury by all the political parties. The code of conduct that I am referring to here is something that has been signed by all the known political parties. Okay? And they have committed themselves to ensuring that at least they respect one another, that they do not do things that will obstruct, disturb the peace of this country, but will ensure free and fair elections. So I am pleading with them. And in fact, they themselves have put in place processes by means of which they can solve their problems, so that whenever there is a problem, they can come together. Unfortunately, when they have agreed on things of this nature, sometimes you wonder whether the rank and file members of the party do know that there is such a code in existence.
You know, whether they have even studied that. It throws us back to the Bible and the ancient Israelites who were saying, all that Jehovah said we'll do quickly to leave the presence of,
exactly,
and then go back to their former. So in that case, how do you ensure that gradually, even as we go closer to the elections, anytime they want to even go and stand on their platform, this will be read aloud,
yes,
to their people before they start talking?
No, we in our meeting, I hope that it will be possible for us to draw their attention to their own code, and also to advise that at least their members are educated in this. And it's not just the political parties, but I think all of us, all stakeholders, churches, Islam, you know, leaders in the Islamic world, our friends in different places, that we educate our members in respect of these beautiful code that the parties themselves have formulated and have said that they would want it to be the guiding principles on the basis of which they would do their politics.
Yeah, let's move on, because people are saying that, assuming that all the things being said that seem to create problems for the country in the long run are being said in small corners, it may not create problems. But the media is there,
yes,
to make it amplified.
Exactly. I mean, this is where, you know, instead of the media hyping on the kinds of things that divide, I just want to, you know, draw attention to when churches were negotiating peace. We said, let's talk about the things that unite us, and rather, instead of emphasizing those ones that divide us. I think it is important for us to look at the beautiful side of things and try to emphasize those things. The media can also be a means of education. It would be good if on this program you would invite, you know, people to come and then discuss this political party's code of conduct.
I can tell you that we've taken a look at it about three times already on this
wonderful
platform.
Yes. Wonderful.
And we've not finished. We've
wonderful.
Hit. Very
and
soon we'll be hitting the line
wonderful.
To talk about
wonderful.
It.
Wonderful. And I wish that, you know, this education continues in all the media houses. And then at least this is made available to the public. I was even going to say that if possible, they should do translation into the various languages. So those who cannot read English but do understand the other languages can do so. Because you know that if they are going to go by this, Ghana will be an Eden for all of us.
Well, the National Media Commission this evening issued a statement. I would like to pick bits and portions of it, and then we'll go to the line and speak about the issue. It says the NMC has been following closely media reports and public reactions to inflammatory statements on the airwaves that have potential to threaten the peace and stability of the country. And it is also saying that the NMC's own monitoring and evaluation of some of these statements has led it to conclude that the peace, stability and unity of Ghana is indeed threatened by some of these pronouncements on air, and it condemns without reservation all such inflammatory language, especially hate speech and language which incites the public to violence. And among the things mentioned are words that have a tendency to cause acts of violence by the group to whom the comments concern, words that can result in a breach of the peace, a fight or a riot, and threatening, demeaning or dehumanizing expressions against groups or individuals, and invectives attacking individuals or groups because of their race, ethnic background, religion, gender or political affiliation. And this one is very important before we get to the line. The NMC is of the view that a revised broadcasting bill submitted to the government, which recognizes the challenges of an expanded media landscape and therefore proposes a series of measures to meet the challenges, must be passed with all the urgency it deserves. We want to hold it here for now as we go to the line. Suleiman Abraima is Deputy Executive Secretary of the Media Foundation for West Africa. You are welcome, sir, to the program.
Thank you very much.
We want to pick it from that concluding part I ended with. That is, the NMC's of the view that a revised broadcasting bill can perhaps help us find effective solutions. How can it help?
Well, I think the issue about having a broadcasting in the country is long overdue. We all know the importance of having a liberalized media and the contributions of such an environment to freedom of expression, which is also critical for every democracy. And so one wonders why our leadership over the years would guarantee media freedom, press freedom, and at the same time do not appreciate the importance of having such a law in place. But having said that, I must also add that it is not just a mere existence of a law, because we are in a country where our statutes are full of legislation and pieces of, laws that should regulate various aspects of our life, you know, and the conduct of people. But these pieces of legislation in our books are rarely implemented. You know, they are only implemented sometimes when it suits the interests of some people, or especially our political leaders. So whilst it is important to have such a legislation in place, it is also important to emphasize that it is not just the presence of a law that can help us solve the problem, but having a law that is fully implemented that can deal with the situation.
Good. So in the interim, we don't have it. What should be done?
Well, I think that the two regulatory bodies, or the two institutions that are charged with some responsibility in managing the affairs of the media in the country, and I'm talking about the National Media Commission and the National Communications Authority, I think they should do more than they are doing at the moment. People have really said that the National Media Commission, for example, has some limited powers, and on that score, people have said it is important to give the National Media Commission the teeth to bite. But there is also a constitutional provision that says that the NMC shall apply or shall use all mechanisms possible to ensure that there is high standard of media practice in the country. And that is an omnibus, our lawyers may describe it as an omnibus provision that can be explored. But so far, people, I had a conversation with a friend that who described the NMC, for example, as a referee without a yellow or a red card, you know. So he's in, they are in the center of this whole game, and yet when it comes to taking decisions or actions that should ensure that the actors in the field comply with the rules of the game, then they lack it, you know. And I think that the NMC should be up and doing. We've heard a lot about there are challenges with resources, human resources, and so on and so forth. But I think that they can do more than they are doing now.
Are you thinking about sanctions, even now?
Well, possibly, because, see, if media personnel or the media organizations can conduct themselves anyhow, and we don't have mechanisms of making sure that they are rebuked and get them, whip them into line, how can we deal with that situation? You know, and we shouldn't assume that people ordinarily would behave in the normal sense. If it were so, perhaps we don't need the police, we don't need other security agencies. It is because sometimes, by human nature, some people would want to, behave in a way that is out of course. And that is why we have institutions like that to make sure that they get people online. Again, I think if you go to countries like La Côte d'Ivoire, the Conseil National de la Presse, the HACA, which is the audiovisual regulatory body, you can see consistent monitoring. And I believe that even if the NMC was not applying sanctions, but yet maybe on monthly basis or quarterly basis, there's a report indicating violations of violations of our practice on the part of the media, naming and shaming. I believe that that could have also gone some way in helping to get a kind of media that we all expect to have.
Good. At this point in time, some are suggesting very radical measures, even closing down, even if temporarily, some stations to save the situation. Can that be an answer?
Yes, it is. Because if media organizations think that, well, we are in a country where whatever you say, whatever you put on air, nothing will happen to you. If anything at all, it will just be public condemnation and you can continue with what you're doing. And again, it is important to emphasize that when some of these radio stations or media organizations are doing the kinds of things that we would all condemn, it is not as though the people in there don't know that what they are doing is wrong. But it is just that it serves the agenda of some people. It serves the agenda of some paymasters. It serves the agenda of the owners of the media. It serves the agenda of some high people in society. You know, and we are in a society where it is not just the right things that people think is the best. Sometimes people want to go the crude way in order to get their interests satisfied.
So from your standpoint, is it ever possible for this country to muster the courage and say that for ownership purposes, it is not going to a politician?
Yes, it is possible. But for me, as a first step, I think if you have such a policy in place where one of the eligibility criteria for having a radio license is that the person in whose name or who wants to set up the media organization must not be an active politician or must not be known to belong to one political party or the other, I think that is a first step. But the challenge with that will be, how do we ascertain who is a politician and who is not? Because if today Kingsley wants to apply for a license, he may be fronting for somebody. And so long as you get the license, you get the frequency and you set up, then it is about what is put up on air that then becomes of relevance. Yeah. So the question of ownership, yes, the first step we can talk about an eligibility criteria that exclude mainstream politicians from owning media. But then we need to also look critically at how do we ensure that this criteria is really, really enforced and applied.
We want to thank you very much. The conversation will certainly continue at another time in relation to how best to help our situation. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Sulemana Brahma is Deputy Executive Secretary of the Media Foundation for West Africa, but still talking about how to use the media, especially around our period with so many challenges. We still have joining us on the line Dr. Emmanuel Bombandi, Executive Director of the West African Network for Peace Building. You are welcome, sir, once again.
Thank you so much. Good evening to you and good evening to our Honorable Reverend Chair of the National Peace Council.
Yeah.
Good evening, my brother.
The ground seems to be shifting any time we finish talking. This is what we are presented with now. Issues in relation to treason and use of the media. What is the best way out for us now?
Well, to continue the conversation as you've been having it in a very interesting way, there is no democratic system in which freedoms do not come with obligations and responsibilities. It goes without saying that our desire is that before you are held responsible to your own actions, you should be responsible enough to submit yourself to the tenets, to the respect of the rule of law, and to the systems that make a democracy to function. But you see, we cannot just wish that this should prevail. It is for that reason that institutions of the state must function. And I'm happy that you have had a conversation around the National Media Commission. Let me quickly give this example. Sometimes in our own sub-region, it's good to refer to these examples. I've been working in the past quarter in Senegal with the elections. On one occasion, a newspaper was sanctioned 3 million CFA by the equivalent of their National Media Commission, which is the CNRA, and they were given 24 hours to pay that money or their licenses will be withdrawn. They paid that money, and it was an example to all media houses. I'm using that example to say that it doesn't matter what bills, what rules, what laws we have. If the institutions of the state cannot make them effective in order that we see the system functioning, we will continue to turn and go round and round and will not come out of it. So my first recommendation is that the institutions of the state must function. And to function here, if I refer to Mr. Brahmer's piece, the Media Commission must have a red card and a yellow card. Mm-hmm. And they will now determine when to issue the yellow and when to issue the red card.
Well, can it be done now without the law that we are talking about?
Well, even before we have a broadcasting law, it can already begin to happen with what we have. And sometimes the law might be legal in holding people accountable, but outside the legal framework, there is also a moral authority that holds us committed to our own agreements. And when the chair of the National Peace Council, who is also the chair of the enforcement of the political party's code of conduct, read portions of the preamble, it might not be a law, but it has a moral imperative to hold those who want to access power and govern to respect the very things that they signed their signature to. So I would want to say that even with what we have, we can let them function if we are committed, even before we work our way to a broadcasting bill.
Dr. Emmanuel Bombandi, as I mentioned, the discussions won't end now. But for now, we want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Behind the News, you are getting us live on Radio Ghana and across the world on www.gbcghana.com. Some of your tests here before we continue. Daddy Moore Eric from UEW Winneba is saying, a man must be big enough to admit his mistake, smart enough to profit from them, and strong enough to correct them, and even apologize to calm tempers. You can have brilliant ideas, but if you can't get them across, your ideas won't get you anywhere. This realization is what I expect from Honorable Kennedy Ejiofor and his followers. Please let's tread cautiously, because Ghana is the only country we have, and the time to let peace reign is now. And Abdul UDS is saying it's rather unfortunate that Mr. Atachia is in support of his colleague, Kennedy Ejiofor. How can a member of parliament voice out such comments? He must be dealt with. And Sota Paul Seshiakuntumra, at long last, Ken has been arrested. This man is fond of passing bad comments. Congrats to the Ghana police. And Baba Musa UDS, the arrest of Kennedy Ejiofor was most appropriate and should not be politicized by any right-thinking Ghanaian. We have a few more. We'll get back to it. But, Prof, before we go, we've heard the various sentiments. It's a peace-building process we are talking of.
Mm.
There may be some infractions, but how do we treat even the infractions in order to help us know that we are still united? We are still looking at the common goal of ensuring a single country in unity.
Yes. Well, definitely, in trying to deal with this matter in the name of unity, we must not overlook the rule of law. If somebody breaks the law, we must, by all means, deal with that person according to the law. But we must do so with a human heart. Okay? Mm-hmm. We must do so within the context of the law itself and not go beyond that. Again, I would go back to this issue of, you know, the double-edged sword that I've been talking about. Mm-hmm. If it applies to B and A does the same thing, it must also apply to A. Mm-hmm. If we did that, then I'm sure that, you know, we will be seen to be promoting that which actually brings about peace and satisfaction.
We shouldn't call them ideals.
No. Mm-hmm. It is very, very important that we don't consider these to be ideals. Mm-hmm. But at least we must allow the law to work for us. And once we do that, I'm very, very sure that we will be able to establish the kind of society that we are looking for. But let me say that we need not go back to the state of nature.
Yeah.
You know, where individuals take the laws into their own hands and do their own thing. Mm-hmm. If we did that, we're not going to have a state. The state of nature, it's not something that anybody wants. And that's the reason why we decided that, look, we want a civilized kind of society. And a civilized society means that we would do things in accordance with the rules and the laws, the values that we ourselves have accepted and have put in place so that there will be peace in our land.
Accepting to go by the laws that we want to guide us. Oh. That is the way to go. We want to thank you so much. But as you said, we have not finished with the conversation.
No.
So we'll try to get you some other time into the studio for us to continue the chat. Thank you so much for
coming.
Thank you. That is Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, Chairman of the National Peace Council, and is also working on the Political Parties Enforcement Code. He's referred to it earlier. The political parties have sworn to go by it, and we'll be expecting that they will also be doing so. Some of your tests before we go. Sam Anfaris, Tamale, is saying they're irresponsible and unprofessional journalists on, you mentioned a particular FM station at Medina, should be dealt with immediately to join their paymasters. Okay. And Bongo University of Education, Mampong. Uncle Ken, we are with you in spirit. The truth is always the truth. And Silas, KNUSD, the arrest of Kennedy will serve as a great lesson to all who are loose with what they say in the country. Let's all be careful with what they do or say. And John UCC, until Nanado retracts all die be die statements unconditionally, his followers will continue to make him unpopular in Ghana politics. And Paul from George Volta region, the persistent beating of war drums by the MPP is a true signal that they are frustrated. And Salman Faris, the police must quickly arrest the journalist who provided a platform for Ken to spill out such treasonable and genocidal comments. It's not been established yet. And Jay Navrongo, in Ghana we abuse titles. How can you call this person honorable? And Odino from Seshiwi also, Kennedy Pon has now seen that there are laws in this country. His incarceration would be a good time for him to learn all these laws and how they function. The legal processes will have to be followed though. And that is where we wrap it all up for today. I want to thank so much our technical man Bobby Nico, who sat at the controls, and on behalf of the production team of Christopher Siru, Felix Kofi, John Pudi, Bright Agama, and Agatha Samar, together with our summarizer Barbara Yakubu. My name is Kingsley Obinchere, and the scriptures say something. The tongue is a small member of the family. It can cause great fires, but if you hold it in check, just like the rudder of a ship, it will steer you to safe waters.